Hi, Sergeant Hoffman. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us a little bit today about what you do.
Not a problem. I apologize for yesterday.
Oh, that's okay. It actually worked out. It worked out well for us to be able to do it today, so that's fine. So I wanted to start off, I guess, with a little bit more information about your background. And I did, you know, I do have a little bio that I got from Josh Varela. You live in Saucon Valley now. Did you grow up in this area, or did you like move here later?
No, I grew up in Philadelphia. I moved here after my first deployment when I met my wife and we moved up here.
Okay. Gotcha. So you went to school, like high school and stuff in Philadelphia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What sort of, when did you first become interested in military service? What led you to that?
It was kind of like a way, I mean, I lived in a really rough neighborhood in Philadelphia, and it was kind of my way of just getting out, and, you know, college wasn't necessarily working out for me, so I thought the next best thing would be to join up. I joined and left, you know, in like a month because I knew my mom would try to talk me out of it if I took any more time.
Mm-hmm. So you were like pretty right out of high school then, or like
I was 19, going on 20. Yeah, okay. I spent 1 year in college and then decided that wasn't working out for me.
Right. So, okay, and that was like 11 years ago or something? Is that
right? Yeah,
2009,
yep.
Okay. You are currently, I guess I wanted to talk first about before I talk about what you're doing now, wanted to go over like some of the things you've done over the past 11 years. I know you had a deployment overseas during Operation Enduring Freedom. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We were deployed to the Middle East, just south of like Iraq, in a country known as Kuwait. We were put there to facilitate a ammo mission. We worked at one of the major ports there. And we were securing the base for incoming vehicles, supplies, and stuff like that, doing base security for the year.
You were there for a full year?
In country, about 9.5 months. But I'm sure you're familiar with, like, pre-MOB and DMOB. There's, like, a pre, you know, all your pre-checks before. And then when you come home, you have to get all your medical and stuff checked again. So,
right.
I mean, I was there, I think it was in total 11 months and about 28 days.
Wow. What were the conditions like while you were there? Was it, like, were you involved in any, like, you know, battles or anything like that?
No, we had a very good mission. I mean, it was considered a combat deployment still, because of, I guess, the climate at the time. But we didn't have any problems with locals. We didn't have any problems, I mean, with anything we did. We were kind of just doing our mission and didn't encounter anything out of, you know, we didn't really get into any sticky situations.
Well, that's good. What I want to hear. Now, you've also had deployments domestically. I know Hurricane Sandy, I guess, was one. What can you tell us about what you did during that deployment?
I've been a part of just about every National Guard activation in Pennsylvania since I've been in the unit. We've done all the major hurricanes. We've worked with the Pennsylvania Emergency Response Team in Philadelphia. We've facilitated anything from patient transport for, you know, anything as simple as, you know, not as simple, but anything like dialysis appointments during, you know, heavy flooding. We've done, road closures, you know, because our unit, we're right by the Schuylkill River. So, I mean, the floodwaters can rise pretty quickly if there's, you know, a storm. And we have, you know, secured 76 at times and other major roadways so people don't get their cars stuck. We've also, you know, pulled cars out of water, you know, who have maybe not seen the sign and gotten stuck. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's you never know what you're going in there for. And recently, I've noticed, you know, the state activations could be anything. So,
right. Well, certainly. I mean, probably you didn't ever. I mean, did you have any kind of training to prepare you for like what a pandemic like COVID-19, or was that sort of more of a challenge because it was sort of unprecedented?
Yeah, I mean, the craziest thing about it was, you know, we get activated. We have no idea what we're going to be doing. We think we're going to be running supplies, maybe setting up short-term medical facilities, something like that, and to be tasked with, you know, mortuary affairs was not necessarily a gut punch, but, you know, kind of a reality check that, you know, like, okay, we're doing something where they need us. It was it took a while. I mean, a lot of guys that I was activated with, you know, I was in charge of the guys from my unit that were activated, and you know, I had to pull a couple aside and make sure they were okay with what we were doing, because they were asking a lot of us.
So were you like going into homes, or was that because funeral homes were like overwhelmed, or like what?
We were strictly working with hospitals. We were tasked out to the medical examiner's office in Philadelphia, and if there was any need for but if there was a need for a secondary source of that nature, we go directly with the hospitals, coordinate with the medical examiners, and transport to them at their site down in University City.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you're dealing directly with a very, you know, people that have passed away that, you know, and that's got to be somewhat difficult, traumatizing, you know, emotionally. So, is there like counseling for people if they do get overwhelmed by something like that in the course of their service?
We did a post activation, you know, mental health exam. They brought in doctors, you know, to speak to everyone to make sure everybody was okay. What we had done, so. They're taking care of us to make sure nobody kind of was affected too bad by that.
That's good. So is your service with that mission over now, or are you still part of the mortuary?
The funny thing is, my time with the COVID activation ended on May 31st.
Okay.
And June 1st, I was activated again for the ongoing protests and riots in the city of Philadelphia.
I had
you know, the lucky draw of back-to-back state activations.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So all in all, it was almost going on 3 months that I was doing all that.
Wait, so but are you still doing the protest activation, or is that
no? We ended that. We ended that a couple of days ago. So
okay,
yeah.
But they're worried that the protests could cause more COVID cases. So
yeah, so I might get another phone call in a couple of weeks.
Great, stand by, I guess.
Well, I actually spoke with another reporter when I was on the protest mission, because I was sent a neighborhood. I joined the military to escape for the protest. So I was, here I am about to get out of the military. I joined the military to get out of that neighborhood, and I'm there trying to stop people from looting. So
was that hard, like emotionally kind of, to do that? Or
it was
just strange?
It was difficult only because the people I was with, the kind of the idea they had of the neighborhood and kind of these, everybody puts it down and stuff. And it's like, well, my family still lives here. This is where I'm from. So, I mean, in that capacity, it was hard. But
right,
it was kind of like, it was almost storybook-like, to come full circle in my military career. Mm-hmm. And end it that way. Hopefully end it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, hopefully you don't have to do that again. I mean, what neighborhood is it?
The Kensington area of Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah, and were you like, I've heard of it. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been in Kensington, but it does have a reputation of being kind of a rougher area, I guess.
Yeah.
Some challenges. Yeah, I think I saw a documentary where they were there, and it was focused more on like the drugs.
Yeah,
and
the drug ink episode.
Yeah, I think that was it.
It was filmed like around the corner from where I grew up.
Wow.
Well, my mom refuses to leave. She still lives there.
Really?
Yeah, she won't get out. She doesn't.
It's a tough one, because when it's like your home, it might not make sense to other people, but then you worry. I'm sure.
Away.
Yeah.
Yep.
As far as the protest in Kensington, was there any like real violence, or were you mainly just like sort of like keeping the peace and?
I mean,
watching over
the
property.
Yeah, before we were sent there, it had been looted a couple times. So we were kind of just watching property and, buildings and local stores that were there. And when we got there, we thought it'd be a lot more back and forth or more conflict between us and, the people that all live down there and the ones that, the drug dealers and drug users underneath the L. But we actually got an unbelievable response from the actual people that live there. It made me happy, like the parents and the people raising families there. They were very happy to see us. They felt safer with us there than they've ever felt, because with our presence, there was more cops because we were there. So, we had people telling us it was the first time they could walk their kids, up and down, they have in years. So
right.
It was nice.
Wow. So were the protesters, maybe you don't know this, but were they from Kensington, or were they just coming there from other parts of the city, or?
A lot of the looting we saw were just local, things that, every day, down there, you never know what you're going to get. We didn't see any big marches. We saw, a couple small get-togethers. There was one prayer group that had come from outside the immediate area to just, pray for anybody affected by it. But, it was pretty calm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because I know it wasn't everywhere, and, definitely saw some of the looting happening on TV, I guess more so in New York and other places, but was that your first deployment, kind of like to do something like that?
No, I've been trained for the presidential inauguration, which I did down in D.C. in 2016. We did a big train up for that. And then I also worked the papal visit. And I, like I said, I've done everything when it comes to these things. So yeah, the papal visit, we had similar training, you know, just for, you know, moving crowds, because you know that was pretty crowded and nonviolent, like everything we saw for the most part. And then the presidential inauguration when we were in Washington, it was the same way.
Wow, so you really get to be like a witness to history doing all these things, like incredible.
Yeah, it's and I just wanted to get out of my neighborhood. And here I am. The worst thing, I'm doing all these jobs. I'm a crowd control, borderline wannabe rent-a-cop. Dealing with the morgue and doing the mortuary affair things. And I'm a carpenter in real life. So nothing really prepared me for any of that.
Your job must be very, understanding of, you know, your service and, you know, with the deployments and things like that. Has there ever been an issue with, you know, work-life balance for you, or does it go pretty smoothly?
No, I'm in the Carpenters Union, so they're really good when it comes to veterans and active military. And then the company I work for right now, which is Clemens Construction, they're unbelievably understanding of, you know, my situations and really take care of me when it comes to that stuff.
That's important for sure. Do you work mostly in the Philadelphia area, or like
I've worked in Upper Bucks, but I mean right now all the big builds are in Philadelphia, so bulk of it's in Philadelphia. So it's a 50 mile drive to and 50 miles home every day.
And I wanted to ask you about that. Like, I mean, what do you like about living in Saucon Valley, since, you know, it is a little less convenient probably for you? What do you like to do when you're here at home?
I do a lot of golfing. I play soccer. I used to coach Quakertown High School soccer team for a couple of years. But yeah, for the most part, it's just, I mean, I have three kids now and a wife, so outside of military and real work with, you know, carpentry, I don't have much time but to spend with them, and once in a while hit up the golf course.
Right. And then they also mentioned go ahead.
No, I was going to say I run a hockey team as well, but
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. You can tell us a little bit more about your nonprofit.
So I'm on the board of directors for a 501c3 dedicated to bringing hockey to disabled veterans as a way to physically and mentally rehabilitate them, you know, once they get out of the military. We are the Philadelphia Flyer Warriors. The Flyers are very active in, you know, facilitating all our activities. We're the Flyers alumni are very active. Our coaches are Flyers alumni. It's Brad Marsh, Bob Kelly. And we get a lot of support from them, as well as the Flyers youth organization. They give us coaches all the time. Rob Bear, he's one of the top guys over there for their youth program. And he's constantly coming out and training us as well. But we reach out and we take veterans who are at least 10% disabled, and we put them on the ice, no matter their skill level, whether they are, you know, learn to skate, which we have a learn to skate program, or, you know, they played D2 college hockey before they joined the military. We take them all and we get together once a week, well, when it's not a pandemic, and we play hockey.
Right. Well, that's awesome. So that kind of, it's sort of like a learn to skate, and then like just bonding kind of experience for them.
Yeah, USA Hockey actually has a Warriors program, and there's a national championship and competitions held all across the United States every year.
Oh, wow. So it is.
Yeah, we have, that's what I was saying. We have every level. Last year was our first year, and we went to Las Vegas for the national championship, which is run by USA Hockey and I forget, gosh, I should have wrote this down. I think his name is Terry Fader. He's a ventriloquist out there in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And and they host the tournament every year, and we won. We went first time there, and we won first place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Is there like a website? I guess there's probably a website for the program or Facebook page or something that we can maybe.
Yeah, we have our own Facebook page, which is just Philadelphia Flyers Warriors, and then I believe the USA Hockey has a whole page dedicated to Warriors hockey program. New Jersey just started a team. There's ones out in Pittsburgh. They're all over now.
Yeah, it's new to me to hear about that, but there's so many programs out there, I guess, that you don't always hear about, and I try and highlight them, you know, whenever I can so that people, you know, other people that might benefit can find out about them. And so I'll definitely do that.
I appreciate that.
In the story. Yeah, no, thank you for being part of that. And I'm sure it's helping a lot of them, you know. It's not just physical disabilities. It could be like post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that.
Yeah, and that's a big one you run into. And when you can kind of create the environment these guys were used to during their service with the brotherhood or sisterhood, but we also have several women on our team as well. You know, you can kind of, what's the best way to describe it? Kind of like, it's just a nice distraction. It kind of takes away the burden of your everyday and it gets you back into that military mindset, you know, you and your brothers there doing something physical, you know, trying to accomplish a goal. And that's what a lot of these guys miss when they get out.
Right. Yeah, it can be. I mean, I've not been in the military, but I understand how it could be isolating, you know, when you're used to that family environment, that team environment, and you don't have that anymore. And then you have other things that you're dealing with on top of that. So,
yeah, during this pandemic, we haven't been able to play, but we've been doing the Zoom happy hours every week with each other. The Flyers alumni have been doing a group chat where they bring in former Flyers or former hockey legends, and they come on and they talk to us, and we all get to, you know, interact with them over Zoom or, you know, them type of programs.
All right. Well, that's
keep everybody involved. You don't want to lose anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that's been tough for a lot of organizations to maintain it, but that sounds like you're doing that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we've had in the past year, we've probably in the organization that I'm aware of, I think countrywide, I think there's been about 4 or 5 suicides in the Warriors program alone. You know,
so wow.
It just shows you how important it is, you know, to check in on all these guys and keep track of your brothers because you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know that's an epidemic in itself, and the pandemic certainly hasn't helped with that because just isolated people more. Yeah, so hopefully you'll be able to have in-person skating again soon. Is that possible when you go to the green zone, or do you know? Or
we're kind of at the mercy of, I don't know how to say this without making them mad at me. Like, well, we got to follow the Flyers. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
We're affiliated with them, so we're kind of just waiting for them to give us the green light. And once they're back on the ice, I assume we'll have the ability to do the same.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's pretty much most of what I wanted to ask you. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention, or anything I didn't touch on?
Yeah, I think that's it. I can't think of anything.
It's a lot. I mean, you've done a lot and given a lot, you know, in terms of your service. So I thank you for that, and also for taking the time to talk to us. And I think still need to get a picture of you, but I'll follow up with Josh from DVIDS and try and get that to go with the story. So we're going to probably run it closer to 4th of July, you know, just to be, you know, kind of tie in with that and, you know, military service and serving our country. And do you live in Hellertown Borough or
No, I used to live in Hellertown Borough. I actually just bought a house just like south of Coopersburg.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not far at all.
No.
Cool. Well, thank you, and I will also share the link to the story when it goes up, so they'll pass that on to you. I guess you can see it and share it. And thank you again.
No, not a problem. You have my email?
I don't know.
In case you need anything else, if you wanted to reach out, yeah, that's probably the best way.
Okay.
Say again?
Yep. I'm ready if you want to get to me.
It's Kyle Hoffman, my name.
Mm-hmm.
000@gmail.com.
Kyle Hoffman 000@gmail.com. Okay.
Yep.
So if for some reason if I can't get a picture, I'll email you and then you can give me something, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
100%. And then if you need me to elaborate on anything or you need something filled in when you're writing that up, just shoot me an email. I can answer any questions you would have.
Awesome. Okay, all thanks. Right. Thanks, Kyle. Yep.
No, thank you.
Be safe. Yep. Take care.
You as well.